Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu.
Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu, whenever you're in the mood.
Now we're talking.
Hi, I'm Kate Berlant.
I'm Jacqueline Novak.
And this is Poog, an ongoing conversation about wellness between two obsessive friends.
Two untamable intellects.
This is our hobby.
This is our hell.
This is our naked desire for free products.
This is Poog.
Today's topics,
loosely speaking,
doshas,
lucid dreaming,
masterclass.
Hello, hello, hello. Now this may get cut, okay, but I want to say that we tried to start recording today. And Kate and I were both too captivated by our own individual reflections that we were forced to throw out a good 15 minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
Now we have turned off self-view.
Finally,
which is
freed.
Honestly an experiment. I mean, this is, you talk about gonzo journalism.
No, okay, I feel immediately free.
Funny, I feel unhinged.
I actually hate it. Yeah, I hate it.
I feel I have no body.
Yeah, I'm floating through space, much like the radio waves themselves reaching the listener. I could have had, how much coffee do you drink in a day?
6 shots of espresso.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm on my third pairing right now.
God damn, that's so, because I have like, I drink coffee every day, but I probably only really have like a cup to a cup and a half.
You are very, I don't want to throw out Ayurvedic terms, okay?
Yeah,
but,
please.
You know, without knowledge, but, you know, you're probably very vata, okay?
Okay.
Well, I shockingly I'm kapha.
Kapha?
I'm kapha pitta blend. Said an intuitive.
I thought I was pitta. Okay, so I.
Although you do seem pitta, fire, okay? Listen.
Okay. I'm pitta, yeah.
We need to tell the people if they don't already know. We need to misinform them with our vague ideas of Ayurveda.
I'm looking over into the corner of the room right now because I know I panicked and bought 2 books on Ayurveda.
Yeah.
Either it was March, it was April, or it was 2 years ago. I couldn't tell you. But I was like, this is my life now. You know, and
yeah.
I got very excited by it. And then, of course, absorbed no information. And now couldn't tell you a goddamn thing.
The 3 doshas are kapha, pitta, and vata. And I don't know. I always think of vata as, and I could be totally wrong about this, but I think of pitta as fire, vata as wind, I don't know why, and then kapha as ground, earth. This could be totally wrong.
We need,
you know, not
blah,
Google blah,
it.
Blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah. We yeah. need not Google, and we, you know, embrace spreading misinformation here. It's
yes,
the only way. That is the frame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look it up your damn self. I gave you dosha. Isn't that enough? I gave you a keyword.
I just remember reading about my dosha, and this is one of the most horrifying things that we've learned. We, all of us, was when you learn that salad isn't just inherently good for you, right? Because we all think, oh, salad, 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 salad. And then when yes. I heard that for my digestive system, raw greens might actually be difficult to digest yes. and they could yes. be bloating me. That was a day I dropped to my knees and prayed because yes. I couldn't believe it. And I felt completely deceived by the 1990s, as well as all of culture. And so every movie, every TV show had lied to me, all my friends, my family, no one could no longer be trusted. And by the way, I'm dizzy suddenly, but I think I'm hungry. Oh, I know why, because I just drank this last cup of coffee. Anyway, I had more coffee today than usual, and yet I feel tired. Why?
Sore.
Right? And I'm sore. I need to go in the sauna. I'm spinning. Okay,
Wait, why
so
did I say the word sore? I have no idea why I said sore. I didn't mean sore, but why
well,
did I
am
say
sore.
It? What did you say that led me to say sore?
That I'm soaring on coffee earlier.
Oh, that's what it was. And I said, right now I was saying perhaps you're soaring.
I'm soaring on my dosha. But I need to know what it is. But I do think that salad, I love salad, and I always thought salad was
it. Oh, but Ayurveda gets into whether you need more fire, whether you need, if you are Vata or something, right?
Yeah.
I think it's like, I forget which one it is, but
I run hot.
Okay. I don't know why that made me laugh.
I run hot and I run wet.
No, but the thing with the dosha is like, okay, if you're naturally water, then you might need some more fire, that kind of thing, right? Or your thing gets out. I think, I could be wrong. I'm going to stop saying I could be wrong. That's yeah. what we do here. If I were alone with you,
of course we
if
could
I were
be
alone
wrong.
With you, not worrying about audience, I'd just throw this stuff at you with utter speed. No, Kate, don't you understand? Don't you understand? Here's how it is. And yeah. it would be sermon. Okay. Now, thus, the point being, salad might not be right for you if you need heat. Okay. You need some people. It's like, no, you need warmth. Okay.
My mother always tells me I begged for soup as a child.
Now, were you kind of doing an Oliver?
No. Actually, now that you say that, I'm sure it was an Oliver influence. I never thought of it that. But my mom kind of tragically, or she kind of says, like in a sad way, she's like, God, when you were little, you'd always ask for soup, and I never made you soup. And you'd always go, I'd say, what do you want for dinner, kitty? I went by kitty my whole childhood. And I would say, can I have soup?
Such
and my mom
reveal.
Would be like, I don't
you
know
were kitty.
Do. Yeah. But no, but I think I do need soup. I'm stew heavy. I should be stew heavy.
Oh, well, soup is, I desire soup daily and don't always achieve it. I haven't yet found my favorite soups in Los Angeles.
You know what I would do with you?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I famously, the juice cleanse I don't believe in for
Well, it's a perfect
a million
example.
Reasons.
Soup cleanse, maybe.
Soup cleanse, maybe. And yeah. There was a place that I drove by 14 years ago and it stayed with me. I think about it every day. But it was just a little kiosk that had a soup cleanse. It was like $800 for 45 minutes of soup. Yeah. And I...
Thank you, because that's how I measure food.
Because I...
In the time that you get to enjoy it. You know, is this snack a sitcom or is it an hour-long drama?
Well, I wish I could eat for
Meaning,
an hour, but
which
food
will
for
fill
me,
me.
I've never eaten. I would say any meal for me never lasts longer than 8 minutes.
Right.
Like even I eat very quickly.
See, I do too, but I manage to keep it going. Actually, it's interesting. I've been on a salad kick recently. Ugh. God, I hate when you slip into things. Like, actually, it's interesting. I've been on a salad kick recently. Like,
there's the
so
quote.
My soul left my body then, okay?
Yeah.
And something sinister came in. You know, like, or just like the body said that. I
Possession.
Hate intonation.
It's not your body. It's just we're so weighed down by cliches that they enter us. They're like the
buckling,
blood in our
groaning
veins.
Groaning under the weight.
Buckling
there.
Under the weight of bad literature.
I remember, I say groaning under the weight of a lot because it was featured as a phrase describing food on a table groaning under the weight of a feast. Okay. In the Lewis and Clark, Meriwether Lewis. I love that first name. Meriwether. Can you believe Meriwether Lewis? Okay. Lewis and Clark. It was a book. I think it was called, Undaunted Courage. Maybe that was something else. Whatever. And I heard it in high school and I've been using it ever since. And I think, you know, wow, that one phrase has served me so well. And I heard it in a book, you know, maybe I should keep reading
right.
and get a second phrase that I like.
I know a single phrase can coast
Wait,
on it for years.
I was
going
to say the asking about soup.
Yeah.
Feels to me, sorry to say it, like a past life memory, okay? And don't you dare sneeze at me, not you.
No,
okay?
I was definitely before a cauldron or two. I definitely was sweating into the cauldron for years at some point.
Yes. Preparing the soup. Interesting. See, I was assumed it was a tiny orphan boy kind of thing.
No, I know that I was in the basement preparing.
Yeah.
I was definitely like a wench, like head of house at some point, like screaming like the mistress needs her soup now. Or like I know that, yes, I was down in the basement.
You were
like performing abortions. Yeah.
Right.
And making soup at the same time.
I would love to jump in. I would love to jump in and say, you know, me too. But then I fear the ego of what you imagine your past life to be, right, cannot be understated. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you know, the joke used to be the Cleopatra, right? I was Cleopatra, et cetera. Oh, how many Cleopatras do we have? Whatever. Well, I'd argue that the soul could split. We yeah, could have 600 Cleopatras now.
Okay.
Or different people could be accessing. Okay, someone with a big spirit. But anyway, I'm sort of back on the past life kick. Because I watched a program the other day and I forget what it was, but it reminded me of one of my most famously favorite cases of a young man who, you know, at age 2.5 started having nightmares and recalling and speaking about the time that his plane went down during World War II.
Is this Many Lives, Many Masters? I still haven't read it.
Brian L. Weiss's Many Lives, Many Masters does not contain this particular story as far as I remember. But the real guy, you got to go. And let's see if I can remember his name. Fuck. He's at the University of Virginia, and that's the biggest past life research center they have, okay? It's at University of Virginia.
What's that?
And this one guy took over the work of the previous guy. It's fantastic. He goes around, he interviews all the children with the past life memories. It's very convincing, okay? The little toddler named the name of the Japanese, like, ship that took him out. Oh, no, that's not what it was. Sorry. The little kid named the ship he was on, okay? And the father was like, I doubt it, because it was called like Natoma or something. And they were like, that actually sounds like a Japanese. Okay, that doesn't sound like an American ship. And he was wrong when he went and did the research. It was the American ship.
I mean, there's no accounting for it. Is it?
Can you believe it?
So you really are the person in my life who talks about past lives. And I, you know, had, of course, historically scoffed at the idea. But we have past lives because we have ancestors. It's kind
interesting.
Of
interesting.
You know, like for me,
well,
it's more
sure.
Like,
sure, I know a lot of people. Yeah.
For me, I'm like, that's what that is.
That's fine.
It's an expression of how to communicate the fact that we do inherit so much, that we have lived past lives, that our DNA, right? It's like we know about intergenerational trauma, whatnot. But it's like, sometimes I'm like, I actually don't need to fantasize about how I was, you know, on a boat.
A witch.
Like, like reeling in fish. It's like, I actually had a great grandmother. And I'm now buckling under the weight of her issues, right? And so we do have past life. I think it's a less romantic maybe version to think of it in that way. Or is it more romantic because those are stories that we can potentially access?
You mean
through diaries and microfiche and whatnot.
Yeah.
I just mean...
Oh, I spend weekends at the microfiche, of course. Click, click, click.
I also I've always envied... I never knew my grandparents. Here I go. And so, but I...
Right.
I'm always amazed at, or people who have real interest in their history, you know, people who are like, well, my great grandfather went here and then da-da-da, like that all has just dissolved for me. Like I don't.
Yes.
So, and it's kind
You're
of terrifying.
In a postmodern
like, oh, the past is just gone. Like I don't. So, and I will be forgotten. Of course. I mean, my work will live on, of course. And, you know, but I think it's impossible to reckon with the fact of how deeply forgotten we will be. And that's okay.
No, and I want to get into that. And however, it kind of reminds me of when I'm trying to talk about how ghosts may exist or whatever. Okay, or ghost phenomenon, a ghost phenomena. Okay, real, right? And someone tries to say like, no, I agree that my grandfather lives on in memories in my heart, and I'm like, get out of here. Okay,
yeah.
It's like I'm not speaking metaphorically.
Right.
Okay, I'm talking about little James, you know, whatever, remembering the ship name, okay, and sobbing and whatever. So here's what I want to say, but it doesn't mean that I necessarily believe this is the same thing as ghosts. Okay, it doesn't necessarily mean that I believe that there's a linear timeline in which
you know, the soul is coming out of the body in the past and it's dropping into the body.
Right,
no.
Right.
Okay, we don't, I feel like we don't know the mechanics of the levels beyond which we can experience. And thus, to make claims about Love them that. Is a form of metaphor. Okay, yes, that yes, is a form
beautiful.
Of metaphor.
Beautiful.
Now,
beautiful.
The experience of, thank you. Now, the experience of a ghost, I believe that there are people who are, you know, seeing a ghost, so to speak, and they're not lying. Now, and what's happening there is an interesting question. Does it mean that the soul of that person that is reflected in the ghost is there, trapped, et cetera, et cetera? You know, maybe. Okay, maybe, I'll say. But also, who knows what that phenomenon is? But to assume they're all lying, I think is rude.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And then same with past life. There's something going on when he remembers his damn plane going down and he remembers the right names of the ship and he's two. Okay.
It's unexplained.
There's
it's
something going on. So that's all.
And I think that.
So it's interesting.
Yes. And
but I the ancestor stuff I do find very compelling. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, don't you see even just directly? I mean. You know, there's a whole other episode, but it's just there's something mutually there's something at once, of course, terrifying and oppressive, but also so liberating and direct about knowing that we just really do inherit like the unlived lives of our parents and their parents. Like there's something very just like direct about that and obvious. And yes, we can break the line of trauma. We can access new narratives. We can we can refuse to continue on the destructive patterns. I firmly believe, but it's just. There's some. It's just in us. There's something about that that is liberating in a way. I mean,
What's
this is
the
just
thing people are always saying about therapy. Grandmother. Like your grandmother's in your egg. What's the matrilineal kind of egg thing?
That's my bit.
No, I know it's from you. That's what I'm saying.
No,
it's is that, it not that, real?
So no, here, it's very real. So I'm paraphrasing here. It's something from my stand-up act. I used to have a stand-up act. I used to tour with things. And my, so here's part. Of, here's a bit. Loosely speaking, here's a bit from my stand-up act. Okay, so. The truth is that if you're born with eggs, like okay, you're born with a certain amount of eggs.
Oh, and, right. Limited and finite, right?
And they're limited
and they're
and
in you at birth, which it's is not, actually repulsive.
And they're in you at birth. It's not like
a baby is full of its eggs. It's disgusting.
Yeah. So it's not like, oh, you have all these eggs. And then it's like, that's the amount. And then they dwindle, right? And so,
yeah.
And so what it means is that, and this is what was exciting to me, was that, oh, so when my mother was born, the egg that then I would hatch from, so to speak, was already inside of her. So there's an argument to be made that I was with her whole life. So so women carry each other their whole lives. And so ostensibly you could say that I've been marinating in my mother's fears and desires her whole life.
Definitely. Okay. Your egg has been marinating in her since birth. That is disturbing.
And we know this. We know that, you know, prenatal memories or that infants or fetuses can, like, you know, if your mother is enduring a lot of trauma and stress and freaked out when she's pregnant with you, you're going to come out a little shaky. You know, it's like, it's just the truth. And again, we talked about the better baby and all of that on last week's episode. And it does put so much pressure on the mother to be this kind of disconnected, you know, completely... serving the fetus at all costs and devoid of any individuality or desire or strife. And it's like, no, of course pregnant women are entitled to be as complex as people who aren't pregnant. But I just mean that, you know what I'm trying to say. Or just that I lost it.
No, my ADD is going the same way.
I'm off the charts today. This morning I woke up and I said I'm going back on Adderall. And my therapist even, because I'm getting a lot of OCD obsessive-o lately. And she was like, you got to go back on the Adderall. And I just...
I'm so confused. I mean, I understand OCD as a response to the ADD brain. But to me, Adderall, et cetera, only heightens my obsessive...
No, I mean, it's definitely not for everyone, but for me, I do think if I'm on Adderall, my OCD is better, tragically.
Yeah. No, that's interesting.
Yeah. Let's talk about this after the break. I need some water right now because my skin is falling off.
Interesting, because as I've said in almost every episode, water from the inside can't save your skin, but enjoy.
I meant more emotionally.
Oh, fair enough.
Okay. Stop right there. You've been given a ticket to go to the ads.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text.
and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Hacks is back for season three, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to know one of my favorite sounds? Here it is.
That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel.
And if you want to learn a new language this year, I guarantee it'll be one of your favorite sounds, too.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works.
Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching.
So you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Babbel is convenient. Kate and I talk about it all the time.
Love the way Babbel helps you for those quick real-world interactions.
Like how to order food or ask for directions. How to have a decent conversation with a merchant.
And who doesn't want to go on vacation and know the language?
Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners.
Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/poog. Get 60% off at babbel.com/poog.
Spelled BABBEL.com/poog. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time, absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu.
Don't want to find out how he met their mother? Then go back with the Dunphys, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek.
And see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids.
We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood.
Can you even watch all this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today.
Now we're talking. Welcome home, sweetheart. Back to the show.
I do want to say really quick one thing about healing the trauma of the previous whatever.
Yeah.
There's an idea that I find really exciting, which is not just, oh, I'm going to break the cycle, my generation and the previous generations, you know, screw them, right? It's like this. There's this idea that you can heal backwards.
Yes, okay? I love that.
That you can send the healing back.
I believe that. I firmly believe that.
Heal the lineage. Because
that's the reason to do the work.
Directionality is less relevant on the spiritual plane. Okay.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
A directionality, linearity, right?
I'm sobbing.
So it's kind of like, it's similar to that thing about in Newtonian physics, like they can't even prove why an effect can't cause a cause or whatever. They don't know. Whatever. All right. I got a lot of.
They don't know. I mean, that's the headline.
Yeah.
Of everything. They don't know.
Oh, and then the thing that Jim Tucker says, okay, that I was referencing earlier, that I find really, after he does all this research about the past lives and whatever, and collects it and is very, you know, academic about the whole thing, you know, there's a chapter in one of his books where he's like, well, how could this be possible? You know, like, and one thing he raises is sort of this like psi concept of, you know, PSY, okay, psi. It's like something that basically this idea that everything that has been known can be known, okay, like a kind of collective consciousness, all the information and perspective and anything in the world that's been thought or exists on that plane could technically be tapped into if you were able to. And so you know, or if you see all of our individual consciousnesses as a kind of expression of one unified consciousness, then in theory, you could access the memories of a life that you did not live. So you might be tapping in, you might be watching that movie, and I could watch that movie just like you could watch that movie. And that's, I think that's pretty compelling.
I think that's cool. And I think when you, because I lucid dream from time to time, right? And it's something, it's a power that I've wanted to harness. Thank you. And then of course I buy the books and then forget. But yeah. I think about certain, or like ghosts, like I've never seen a ghost, thank God, because I think I've also, they know I don't want to see them because I'll become so hysterical and never recover. So I think I've shut myself off. Like I'm like, I don't
shut myself off through desperation. They're disgusted by my desperation. And sorry, not to do a bit for my old act. Okay. I too have a toured and I did it. No, but they're disgusted by my desperation and they want none of it. They don't want the girls that want them. You know, you get it. Oh, I used to hit the stage with that ghost material and I still will in the future.
Imagine
if we saw a ghost together, how exciting it would be.
I could see
you and me sharing a hotel room
alone, but being alone with the ghost is unbearable to me. Maybe I should. I think a couple times I've kind of been like, fine, show me,
reveal yourself.
Yeah, a couple times I've been like, sure, bitch, you know,
manifest.
And then they're not there. And I'm like, okay.
But I would love if the Poog listeners, not to be cornball, but I would really love if any of them have ghost experiences. No jokes, please. No jokes. No. Okay, we don't joke here about
ghost
these manners.
Experiences.
Okay, I want you to post it.
Yeah.
Okay, you at Poog. Podcast, okay, post it, nice thick thing, we'll put it up in ghost stories highlight on the Poog. Thick text is what I was trying to
really
say
really quick to my, so I've never seen a
please.
ghost, but I have had, you know, psychic things here and there that happen that are quite shocking.
Of course,
and then
of course.
I had a dream shortly after moving into my house, the house that I'm in, I rent, okay, let's be clear, it's rent stabilized,
of course, as
but it was built in like 1905 or something. I mean, it's an old house.
What?
And yes. And I had a dream. I had a lucid dream that I was walking. It's a two bedroom. I was walking out of the bedroom into the office. And there was a little girl sitting on a stool with her kind of classic ghost image. Like her face was away
like
from me.
Like an old dress. Or
she
whatever.
Was on like a little
white lace dress.
Honestly, she had shoulder length hair. I'm scared now. I'm talking about her and she's going to wake up and come see me now. But she was on this like little stool, and then I was getting closer and I wasn't scared in the dream, and I was like, what's going on? And I went closer and she said to me, she was like, it happened on a Sunday in church. So specific. Yeah.
Okay, let me breathe for a second. Oh, I'm thrilled. Okay,
thank you. So what does it mean? So I really remember that in the dream. I was like, wow. And I wasn't scared, and I just like heard that and then woke up, and it was just a very clear memory.
Well, there is a big question with lucid dreaming, which is, are you actually astral projecting? Okay, maybe not a big question, but some people, there's a bit of a confusion between whether you're astral projecting or lucid dreaming.
So shocking.
And what's the difference, right?
Yeah.
What's the difference? Now, in theory, you know, I guess just classic lucid dreaming would be you are in your dreamscape and that's it, right? And you're controlling what's going on and et cetera, right? Right. But astral projection is this concept that you have an astral body and that when you dream, you are actually moving about the astral plane of existence in your astral body, right?
Mm.
Now, or that this can sometimes happen as a result of lucid dreaming because your body is asleep and your consciousness is active and super conscious because now it's aware that it's dreaming, right? Now you're in a real position to activate the astral form and step away. Now the astral form is connected to the abdomen, okay, by a silver cord that stretches thinner and thinner the farther away you go from your body, et cetera, et cetera. I just want to give the people the basics of astral.
And by the way, for those lucid dreaming, we should define lucid dreaming as when you dream, but you know you're dreaming. So you're completely asleep and you're in the dream, but you're able to manipulate it and you're fully aware, oh, this is a dream, and you can manipulate your surroundings.
Yes.
And it's pure heaven. Mine always turns sexual almost immediately.
Right. And that's not because you go, okay, here I am, what do I want to do? Well, the classic for me is there's different versions of reality testing, right?
Yeah.
No, but the different versions of reality testing is a thing. So with lucid dreaming, right, during the day, you're supposed to test reality by doing things that don't work in a dream. So you look at a number on a piece of paper. It says 532. You look away. You look back. It says 532 again, still. Then you're awake, right? That's in dreams. Apparently, that can't happen. You can't. You also can't turn lights on and off. Okay.
What?
So you haven't heard any of this?
No,
those books are unread on the nightstand.
No, I got to page seven. One exercise, they said, like, stare at my hands. Like, you focus on your hands for a long time before you go to sleep. And then, so when you're like, am I dreaming? You look down at your hands and you're like, oh, I'm dreaming. It's like creating these little touchstones. Yes. For you.
But even better, I think, are these tests. Okay. So during the day, you practice continually checking, am I dreaming? Okay. Of course, you know, you're not worried about, you know, it's not like you think you are, but you get into a habit of always doing that, or looking at your watch, seeing the time, looking away, looking back. If the number remains, okay, because that can't happen in a dream. They also say you can't change light in a dream. Like if you turn on a light, you can't turn a light on or off in a dream, whatever, that kind of thing, right? So then you get in the habit of doing that. Then when you're asleep, you, you know, your dream, you're doing because it's a habit, and then you realize you're dreaming, whatever, right? And then you can soar. But a really simple sort of classic thing is, things to note are, if you can't dial a number on a telephone and it's driving you crazy and it won't work, it was a classic kind of anxiety dream thing. Maybe this is a dream. So like if your tech isn't working in the way that, like,
then that's what wakes you realize it's a dream.
Yes. Another one is if you see someone, you realize they're dead. Mm-hmm. You're like, wait, you can't be here. You're dead. Right. Right.
Classic.
You died a number of years ago. Then you realize you're lucid dreaming. And I, classically, one time was dreaming and was talking to a late cousin of mine, realized, oh wait, this means I'm lucid dreaming, and immediately ditched the conversation, just put my hands above my head and soared into the trees. Okay. Oh. And like, I could have like stayed and, you know, asked him about the afterlife, because some people feel like those are, you know, those dream visitations are real visitations from the spirit world.
Yeah.
But I was like, hold on, zoomed into the trees, and then was just soaring, looping, arcing through trees that were not only green, okay? They were lush. The sun was filtering through them, and they were lilac. They were a pale pink. They were green. There was yellows. It was beautiful.
God, that sounds nice. The last lucid dream I had, I just remember, because they say that if you start reading about lucid dreaming or start thinking about it, like, you will start to, like, as soon as you kind of introduce it into your waking life, then it just you're more likely to actually conjure them.
Yes.
And
yes.
I, you know, famously, of course, read like 7 pages of a book and then fell asleep that night, was in a dream. And the only lucid dreaming moment I had was, I was like, I realized, oh, I'm dreaming. Oh, shit. And there was a closet. And I said, open the closet. And I said, okay, I'm going to see Michael Jackson in the closet. And I opened the closet. Nothing was there. I moved the clothes to the side. And there was a painting of Michael Jackson in the back
Beautiful.
Of the closet.
See,
and it was so.
Yes.
It was like a rich oil painting. Like the colors were so real.
Yes.
And the clothes, I felt like I could feel the fabric on my hands, like push the clothing aside. I mean, it's a radical experience, lucid dreaming.
Well,
why? And yet, and here I am, just so just like, read the book. I can have a whole second life. And that's what they talk about with lucid dreaming. It's like, you can't have another life. You can work out kind of issues. Like, you can actually
work out as well. Honestly,
you can work
I believe
out.
That if you do ab work in the dream state, okay,
it will
trigger things in the brain that will release hormones that will tighten those abs. That's a little belief of mine.
Oh.
But what I've done in those states, okay, where to me it's sort of, am I lucid dreaming or I'm aiming to astral project? That has been how I go to sleep for the last 10 years, okay? Mm-hmm. I go to sleep trying to leave my body. And on the occasions that I've sort of half done it, maybe through lucid dreaming, you know, unclear, what I've done is I go through walls.
Ooh.
Okay. And
that's exciting.
There's an idea that you stick your arm through the wall, okay? Because you could do that when you're astral, and then you feel around what's in there. And I felt like sometimes I stuck my arm in the wall and I felt things that were like what would be in the wall. You know what I mean?
Like wiring and rats.
Oh, wow!
Did you just drop your gua sha?
That must have been it.
It was.
No, I've been dying to get off skincare and into the spiritual, and here we are. And yet the gua sha calls out by dropping on the floor.
I know.
You will not be taking over today, sir. All right. But do you fly in your dreams?
Yes. I mean,
because going through the wall and into the sky, okay, is big. Like, that's pretty much what I do when, when.
I mean, taking flight. Come on.
Taking flight is, and sometimes, I had a huge realization about dreams recently. Okay. This is huge. I've been meaning to ask people, then I forget. All right. Do you have any locations, settings, whatever, I guess it could be characters that exist in your dreams in a recurring fashion, consistently the same, that do not exist in real life. Okay.
No, I feel like I'm never in a place more than once.
Okay. So let me, so let me give you the examples, because I feel like I didn't even notice that I do this because it is the second life there. Like, I just took it for granted. Okay. I've realized, here's some of them. I've been like logging them. There's a discount store in my brain. Okay. No. That exists in a place in my hometown where there is none. Okay. And often I have to run there in my recurring dream, in which, I have this recurring dream that it's Christmas morning or late Christmas Eve, and I haven't gotten everybody in my family a gift. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I have to try to run out and see if I can find something that looks suitable from like a CVS.
Very okay. Stressful.
Okay. Yeah. But there's this discount store that's in my dream. The other one, there's a comedy club somewhere in Ohio. Okay. Okay. And it has a very, and this is a comedy club that in my mind, almost every time I try to go do a set there, I'm late. Okay. I'm late. And I'm like, is the guy mad at me from last time, me being late? It's a specific comedy. I've done comedy sets on there multiple times. Okay. In my dreams.
Oh,
okay. There's,
God.
There's a sort of, I was going to say discount again, but it's not. There's a specific kind of Barnes and Noble type place that has a thing
jealous.
In the center.
I don't have these.
I can you believe it? I feel like you might though. Not really. There's a hotel, like a weird hotel. They're all kind of like extensions of places that do exist. Isn't that just wild? I just realized it
is another world. No, it when you really start to think about it, I mean, the way we just accept dreaming, we're like, oh, you're born, you dream. And it's like, wait, whoa, go back. What? Dreams are, and I gotta get a Jungian therapist now. I mean, I really
do too. I'm humiliated. I'm rereading Memories, Dreams, and Reflections, yes. And still have not gotten myself a Jungian therapist.
Are
this you humiliated?
Are you aware at all of the work of James Hollis? He's a really brilliant Jungian psychotherapist.
Frankly, sounds familiar. I'm humiliated once again.
He writes really wonderful books.
Deeply.
I want to recommend to the Poog listeners his book, Creating a Life. It's really beautiful. And he talks a lot about just like the first half of your life. You're just kind of, it's kind of a mistake. Like, you're just inheriting the symbols and the patterns of everyone before you. It's like the first half of your life is just
imprint.
You're just going through the motions of what you've been taught and being socialized and your primary caretakers.
Before
and of course,
you
your
individuate?
Genes, the zeitgeist into which you're born.
Yes.
But
yes.
That basically at your midlife point, if you get to their midlife, meaning I think like, you know, your mid 30s or whatever,
right?
It's like then you actually have the potential to kind of break open new patterns and go, okay, what do I actually want to do?
Is but that few what people individuate do the means? I'm sorry, I've
individuated
twice to say it. Is that individuation? I feel
I
like it might be.
Misuse that term all the time. Okay. I'm not sure. I mean, I think individuation is being primarily the Freudian idea, right? Of individuating from the mother, the infant, the infant, like looking at its foot and being like, how could my foot be in my mouth? And it's something about that, like the infant recognizing its own body as not as being separate from the mother.
I was just right. And I think there's also something about, like, I don't know, my cousin always references the shit in the bathtub being a big moment. I think psychologically
it's something about the creation of the shit and going, that was
that
in me, now it's outside of me. It's like an abjection, like recognizing it's like this moment of how could that be so close to me, inside of me, and yet now it's outside of me and it came from me.
I can never remember abjection, and
that
which
is so close that it must be pushed away, that much which is so unbearably close it must be radically jettisoned. Julia Kristeva.
Oh, jettisoned is huge for you.
Jettisoned,
I love jettisoned.
I used to talk, I'm looking over here, where's my objection book? Yeah, Julia Kristeva.
No, abjection is huge for you, and the reason I struggle with the word abjection and struggle with other words that have the following characteristic, any word that is based solely on two, like, root, like a root and a suffix, or a root and a prefix, okay, that are based on those that which we were taught and which they claimed we could decode the meaning of any SAT word. Okay, they were like, as long as you're armed with the roots, and then I am, okay, on the last question of the PSATs, and it involves the word extemporaneous and extemporaneous speech, okay, and I ignored context, because why would someone note that a speech was extemporaneous if it didn't mean, you know, spontaneously speaking without preparation, right?
Right.
No one would contextually note. That's just what other speeches are, is prepared, right? So, but I decided ex temp, okay? I was like, out of time, okay? So I was like, extemporaneously is like they're speaking out of the time in which they're speaking. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Ex temp, like it isn't in temp.
Right,
with what they're saying. And so I used the roots, okay? And I got screwed, okay? Okay, okay, I got screwed.
And yet you still landed at Georgetown.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, but you know, merit scholar, whatever yeah. it is, you know, I could have been in a smaller group. You know, I as we know, I've hang up, so these things matter to me because
I miss school so much.
I long to learn.
I long to learn desperately. My attention span has been so violently whittled away due to social media addiction, yes. Which of course I actually am completely powerless. And we need 12-step for social media. I got a huge poog scoop here. I have come so close to deactivating all my social media in the last 2 days, Jacqueline. And actually poog is one of the primary reasons I've gone, no, I can't. I need to be able to post about poog, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah. And I'm reaching out here to the listeners to say, mom's not doing well. And I might actually need to log off. I think I actually might be reaching I of course will not never come back, but I'm kind of thinking that I'm actually done donating my consciousness and my time and my whole life as currency to someone I'll never meet in Silicon Valley who's trying to sell like a shoe rental service so you can like rent shoes to go protest in or something. I don't know. I don't know if I can any longer criticize the system and yet be inside of it so deeply. And I am exhausted and bored with myself.
You could get rid of Kate Berlant at Kate Berlant and keep at Poog Podcast. Oh. Send all the followers over. Okay, that's a good. What do you got? 30K over there?
Because I would never completely delete it, because one day the world will return. I will tour again. I will, you know, hopefully make a video again, you know, something. And so I think, but I can't do it anymore. So actually, maybe I'll deactivate today. Wow. Can you imagine? Because I'm thinking about school and being smart and I'm looking at the books I used to read. Oh, I used to be able to sit there and read for 2 hours, 3 hours.
Maybe
and then I would have ideas.
Maybe continuing education. Maybe you and me should get in some coursework together online. Like, it's there. And I think via, and this is a 10-year-old reference, like iTunes University or whatever. Okay. The last time I looked into further education, but there's, you know, free courses. You don't have to pay the college. There's a lot of free. I mean,
on
I know
iTunes?
There's just simply reading. I'm not a big fan of the book clubs I've been hearing popping up among friends. There's something feeble about it. I want
a seminar and I want a professor. I need that central. I need that conduit of information. I need that. I need that. And I. Yeah, so I think I might have to get out.
I come alive when learning. But speaking of, my masterclass freaking membership has just, you know, pinged me again with its $180 yearly membership. They you know, December 31st, they don't warn you.
Do you watch masterclasses?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Give me your login because I'll check it out.
I've paid $180 last year going, I'm going to do this.
Sorry to interrupt, but it's just because it's so huge. I paid for the Kevin Spacey acting one when it first came out, because the trailer was so hysterical, him doing like mask work. I mean, it was like so unbearable.
No, did he do
and
mask
so
work?
I paid for it because I was like, this is the finest comedy that's ever been created. And then mere months later, you know, he was dethroned. He was,
yeah.
And
there you are.
And there I am with my $90 Kevin Spacey. Yeah.
I went with the carte blanche. You know, because once I start buying, it's really hard for me not to buy the full. And I can't remember if this is the second or third year which it has reignited December 31st without me noticing. One of the ugliest traits in American business is the subscription auto renewal with no warning. I mean,
not even a
warning. What are they getting away with?
My mother, Netflix, she had, I don't know if you can still do it, but up until very recently, still had the plan where it was like up to 4 DVDs a month and unlimited. She was paying something crazy.
See, they should be taken out for that.
They should be. Class action lawsuit now. Yes, I'm about to sue them.
It's predation against old people.
It's elder abuse.
It's the little lady getting swindled in her home when husband and son are away and they can't protect, you know, that old model of the 50s, whatever.
Yeah. The vacuum, the man at the door, the
imagine door-to-door salesman. Imagine door-to-door salesman, like as a real part of life, and letting them into the living room is astonishing.
Incredible.
Was there not a single serial killer that operated that way?
There had to have been. Never caught him.
Oh, I'm pretty excited because guess what?
Betty Draper letting in the salesman and then having the sex fantasy about him fucking her against the washing machine. Anyway, continue.
Is that when she sits on the washing machine for its
and
vibrational
it's like
effects?
That classic thing. That, you know, that's
the
what the women were doing. They had
the repressed housewife.
They're pressed against their laundry machines.
Oh, God.
As they should be.
Time to put on your slippers and make some hot cocoa because it's ad time.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time, absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu.
Don't want to find out how he met their mother? Then go back with the Dunphys, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek.
And see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids.
We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood.
Can you even watch all this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today.
Now we're talking.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
So wait, Jacqueline, you never watched a single masterclass?
No, I did. I started Billy Collins poetry, you know.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Fun. And then I started Ron Howard's filmmaking. And what else did I watch? I think David Lynch. Now, it was really, really funny. And I even feel bad saying this, but they have graphics, right? They have kind of Ken Burns effect over a journal with notes, right, while the people are talking. But the problem was, so they did this with like Billy Collins, for example, right, poet. They have these sort of close-ups of journals kind of floating past, right, with a real treatment. It's not just like naturalism. It's like a treatment, right? And the notes, they didn't look at what the notes were. They weren't his poetry notes. They were literally grocery lists and phone numbers. And not in a Ginsbergian sense, yeah. Okay, of whatever. Yeah. Remember that? Like,
wait, no.
Like Ginsberg's radical, like, beat poetry that was like a list of items at the grocery store.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Which is, you know, a classic kind of case of, like, because, like, it can seem meaningless now, but at the time.
Oh, huge.
It was huge, and for good reason, like, awesome, rejecting gosh. The norms.
It's just so funny. I'm hearing you talk. It's like the masterclass just is such a fallacy. This idea that somehow you're going to watch, like, they have the greats, totally. Right? The roster is insane. And it's like, guess what? You're never going to learn how to do it. like, of course, we can learn techniques. Can we? Yes. I don't know. With something like that, I'm just like watching a Ron Howard masterclass.
No, it was curiosity for me. Okay?
I'm so curious about that. But there's something so embarrassing and sweet and devastating about that. Like you're like watching a Billy Collins. You're not going to become a poet from it. It's you cannot access it. That's what's so crazy about talent, right? I mean, what are we gonna do? We're gonna talk about talent here? I mean, my God. But really, though, it's like you can't. I know it's you have it and you don't. But like, it is the truth. And there are people that, of course, have it.
I think it's a mix. I think it's a mix. Okay.
Okay.
Because
I mean, of course, there are people that are massively talented who lack the discipline or the cash flow.
Oh yeah, but I wasn't gonna go there, right? I just mean I've always felt that any kind of learning or reading anything that other people would think would deaden the artistic process, okay, I think suggests you have a very low opinion of your own artistic impulse or whatever if you think that reading a book on, you know, three-act structure is going to crush it, okay?
Of course.
Right? Now, I do think that whenever I read anything like that, there's something in there that I might pick up that does serve me for years.
Mm-hmm.
And just it could be one line in Billy Collins says that frees me or something, right?
Oh, okay.
That frees a part of me that
agreed, like, fully
and sticks with you and you return to as a touchstone, and those things can call you back onto the path of your own artistic pursuit.
Agreed.
That I think
completely agreed. No, I look for inspiration and hold things people have said very dearly, but it's like I just mean something about like the idea of the masterclass. It's just like, as I mean, obviously, I'm not saying anything interesting here. It's like,
no,
of course.
I think it's interesting because I do think you are briefly sold on, idea that you're going to watch it. And even this idea, like when I settle in for the Ron Howard, I decide, okay, other people are going to watch this and get nothing from it. I am going to get from it. Okay. No one's going to pay attention because I just
brief
fear.
Honey, the class is the road. That is the school. You just do it. That's the school.
The class is the road.
It is true, though. I am like so old fashioned. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, because you got to, as David Mamet talks about acting, you know, I do love the way he completely takes down the idea of acting
class. Perfect.
And he says, stay out of school. I love that.
I have two copies. Okay. I famously have two copies of Three Uses of a Knife on the Nature and Purpose of Drama. I also have True and False. Okay. But I have two copies.
True and False.
Okay. This is a great example. Some things that Mamet has said, I've internalized to a point of paralysis.
Same.
Okay, such as the nature and purpose of drama not being to solve the conflict, but to air it in its fullness. Okay, to completely air a dramatic conflict to a point where we can merely revel in awe at the human condition. Okay, that's the end of the play versus the end of the play solving the problem and saying, here's how things are, and we as an audience will pat ourselves on the back for knowing that the right one won or whatever, right? And I remember going in actually to saying this to a dramatic writing teacher in college, okay? Being like, well, Mamet says.
Yeah. Okay.
And the teacher saying, well, that's a very, you know, Mametian or whatever. Mametian? Okay. That's a very Mametian, you know, definition of drama. And I was like, indeed it is. And yes. I'm always convinced by the latest argument I've heard. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But anyway, can you learn? Can you be taught? I think
barely.
You are alone in the... Okay, I agree. Stand-up comedy, technically speaking, I believe should not be criticized because you're already getting live criticism from an audience.
Well, that's the thing. Audiences, laughter, you know, people say, oh, it's an involuntary response. No, it's not. It's voluntary. It's purely social performance. So people will laugh. You will laugh. You will guffaw at something you hate. I, of course...
Have you ever laughed at a joke as an audience member, your friend goes and your friend sees you laugh really hard and you go, wait, well, I missed it. What did they say? And you go, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's humiliating. You don't know why you laugh. Like, it's humiliating.
I think of myself going to see Napoleon Dynamite. I must have been, I don't know, it was like the ninth grade
or something.
Here we go. Hated it the whole time. Screaming with laughter to impress the boys, right?
No.
And everyone was going crazy. And I was like, tears rolling down my cheeks. Convulsing with laughter.
You got to that point.
Knowing, this is shit. This is some cheesy shit.
Again, my tongue is held. I have so much to say, and yet my tongue is held because I don't want to insult another artist's work on Pook.
And also another point of why I don't want to speak negatively of other people's work, because it's like, this is saying the complete obvious, but it somehow suggests that my work is so, you know, impenetrably perfect that,
right.
like it's
right. Although we are all, you know, the tyrannical. Sorry, I don't know why I gave an A sound that I don't. I sound like a British actress trying to speak American. You know, they always do the A sound, like in a way that I'm like,
I can't locate accents. Like, I can't locate like an actress covering up an accent.
The only one I recognize is when they're like I was highly caffeinated. That's not it. What did I just say?
There is a moment.
Tyrannical. I was like tyrannical. And I'm like,
what's the show that everyone, the Nicole Kidman, Hugh Jackman show? The wolf. Okay, I had to say something. This is something new where I'm forgetting things, but then I make myself the rupture. Do not tell me, under no circumstance.
Listen
to me. 2 days ago, I could not for the life of me remember what the movie A Star Is Born was called. I was like, Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper in, and I would not allow myself to look it up. And it almost took 24 hours, and I was obsessing about it. I was like, is it one word? And then finally, I forgot about it, and then I was eating a banana. Star Is Born. It just came to me out of nowhere, right? So right now I have to, the, it's something about rupture, fragment. Again, this is the HBO, Nicole Kidman, Hugh Grant. Okay, hang on. Did you say Hugh Grant?
Because I heard.
Hugh Grant.
Wolfman.
I said Hugh Jackman.
I heard Wolfman, and I can't remember the name of Hugh Jackman's movie where he's a wolfman.
What is that movie? Stop. The rupturing, the fracturing, their marriage is falling apart.
Oh, wait, don't tell me. Because I can't remember either. Don't tell me. If you get it, don't tell me. I didn't know we were talking about, I thought we were talking about Jackman. Wait, hold on. So, don't you dare say it if you get
it. I'm not going to. Okay, wait. I don't remember. Okay, it's something. Okay, hang on.
Have you watched the blah, blah, blah? I feel like it's a the something,
I know that it's the something.
Okay.
It's the... The
okay, hold wait, on. Don't on. You dare. I know you're gonna break the rule. I know
to,
you're gonna.
I will tell you if you I know swear, it, but I won't you tell you what it is. I swear. Okay, hang
Let
on.
Me work
hang
as well. On. Let me work as well.
I'm shaking.
Are we allowed to say words we know it's not? Are we allowed to help by saying words we know it's not?
So, for example, like it's not the rupture.
Okay, it's not the fall. That's another show. Okay, hold on.
It's like, okay, the devastation, the rupture, the collapse, the undoing.
It was like a waterfall.
I'm so sorry, I heard three words and I knew you were close.
I'm going over the edge, and I thought about throwing my headphones. I cannot.
It was
you
truly.
Swore.
I'm honestly feel terrible. I feel terribly.
It's fine. I loved it.
The undoing.
What a fun time.
Okay.
Except next time we'll get to the Hugh Jackman Wolfman thing. I can't remember.
Okay.
You don't even know what I'm talking about, do you?
Nope.
It's a superhero movie starring Wolf Jackman.
Never saw it.
Hugh Jackman. This has to go in. I know the episode's over, but it has to go in.
Okay.
Wolfman.
Okay. Bye.
Neither of you know. You're so outside. You're so abjected from culture. Okay. Neither of you know a Marvel film.
I strictly watch Janice films. That was Poog. If you enjoyed Poog, please subscribe, rate, and review. If not, we will press charges.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu.
Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu, whenever you're in the mood.
Now we're talking.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.